Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Chapter 14, the book of John, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. So I'm going to tell you ahead of time where this series is going. The series is simply called Greater. Greater. It's been the word that's been in my heart for the last 2 months. It's just been stirring that God desires to do greater in your life. And typically you hear a word like that, so I'm very pragmatic. So I'm going to ask, what does the word greater mean? How am I going to communicate greater to the lives and the hearers that are here today? How am I going to communicate that in a way that's practical, in a way that's not super spooky or spiritual, but that you can take home and apply? This series is very simple. I'm going to go over things that I believe that you've heard before, but we're going to come at it from a slightly different angle because I want you to gain concept of what the Word of God says concerning your life. There are four areas that you're going to see greater in 2020. You're going to have greater influence. You're going to walk in greater power. You're going to have greater productivity. But all of those things are for the fourth reason. It's for greater unity. And I find it ironic that during an election year that God wants me to speak on unity in our world, in our churches, in our families, in our relationships. Because at the end of the day, if we're not treating each other the way in which God has treated us, we are causing the gospel to be of no effect. And more than anything else that I want from you, I want you to leave this earth with the legacy that Christ said disciples are known by, for your love one for another. Let's read in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. In the New Living Translation, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me would do the same works I've done and even, everybody say greater. Everybody say greater. Even greater works. Because I'm going to be with the Father, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything. Somebody say anything in my name and I will do it. Heavenly Father, I am trusting you to communicate this series, this message, this season of prayer. In faith, I see in advance hundreds of people bought in to your plan for their life. All of us working with one heart, with one mind, with synergy toward what you've called us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray and everyone says amen, amen. So before we move any further, I want to go ahead and give you all some key terms in John 14, 12 through 14. The first one that stands out is greater works. Greater works. I think that is a tremendous proposition and promise that the Lord gives us, that not only, because we've seen the works that Jesus has done, we have books recorded. In fact, at the end of the book of John, it said that we could not record everything that Jesus did. If we did, there wouldn't be enough books on earth to contain it. And Jesus says, not only do you see me doing these works, but I am going to cause you to do greater works. So let me define what he's saying by greater works. When he says greater works, it means impact in this life through service. Impact in this life through service. So I was doing some studying and really getting into investing and seeing what options are the best. You know, the first thing I do is not necessarily look for what are people of means investing in. What I want to know is how are they thinking in order to make the decisions on the investments in which they did. And something that I came across, which I just want to pass on to you, because how many of you know if there's a way for you to think like a millionaire, would you want to be able to think like a millionaire? There was a millionaire investor that said, if you want to really make money through investment, find a way to invest into something that helps change lives. So Jesus is saying that I want you all will be able to do greater works because he wants our lives to have impact through service. In fact, the greatest level of fulfillment that you'll have in life, the greatest passion that you'll notice in life will come from being in a place where your life is not set up to serve you, where there's a greater call, there's a greater reason that holds you, that wakes you up. You have a passion to do it. Has anybody ever taken a job or done a responsibility where you were paid less than what you were worth doing that particular job or responsibility? And with those hands that were up, have you done that for something that you truly loved? Have you done that for something that you were passionate about? And people who have done that for what they were passionate about, the first thing I think of is teaching. Teachers do not take the job, especially in elementary and middle school levels, because they love how much they're getting paid. They do it because of their passion, their love, their impact through service. The next one that I thought was really cool here is that as we were reading, it says in verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name. Notice it didn't say you can ask for anything and I'm going to do it. So the reason why I asked our church that, hey, before you go to God in 21 days of prayer with your list, as much as you can, come with a blank slate. Because God is not guaranteed to bless your plan because he's already blessed his plan for your life. And so if you're going to get the most out of your time in prayer, you have to say, Lord, it's not about what my list should say, but it's about what is your list that you have for me. Because he says, you can ask for anything. Here's the key word, in my name. Someone say, in my name. And I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything. Where? In my name, and I will do it. In my name there, the Greek word for name is onoma, which means authority. But if we broke it down in even more layman's terms, it means in my name is based on God's character to yield his characteristics. So let me put this all together. You can ask for anything based on my character as long as what you're asking is going to yield my characteristics. So if we think about our prayers, how many of them were for, Lord, how can I come up? Versus, Lord, how can your name be made great where I am? And we'll delve even further into this. So the first thing I want us to look at is greater influence. We're going to look at greater influence today. And in this series, you're going to notice that there are two streets. There's the street of what God has already done for us, what God has already provided, what God has already laid before us. And the second street that we're going to look at is our response to what God has already provided for us, meaning that God has done his part. But it's now up to us to get in alignment with what God desires to do in this time and in this season. And so when we talk about greater influence, the word influence means the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Let me say that again. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. So before we do anything else this year, I want us to make a decision to commit to allowing God to begin to influence our life. I sense that I need to pause right here and take a parenthetical insertion. What I'm in essence saying is we're not so much to be looking for the rules of do's and don'ts, but we're really to be sensing, God, where is your peace at concerning these different situations? Part of my daily reading of this year has taken me through the Garden of Eden. And what stood out in the Garden of Eden, especially in the time that Adam and Eve succumbed to temptation, is succumb a word. I just made it. All right, succumb. They succumb. They succumb. They failed a temptation, and There we go. Let's make it simple. I noticed that the Lord did not remove the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from the garden. God desires that we're beyond robots and that we're in a heartfelt relationship with him. Part of the mandate of the Outlet community is to raise up life-giving leaders. Our focus, what I'm grading on, are we successful or not? Am I raising people who are leading well in their life? And if we're not doing that, then that means that we need to focus our attention on how we can have people who want to live for God in a way that's pleasing before him. So I'm not interested in introducing you all to a list of rules of do's and don'ts, but what I am interested in is, will you allow God to have influence over your thoughts, your words, and your actions? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, who in here has heard, you will know a tree by its fruit? Well, let's take a look at what this is and what that means. You will know a tree by its fruit. Often we say, I can't judge you, but the word says, I can know a tree by its fruit. What does that mean? Let's take a look here in verses 16, 17, 18, and then verse 20. It says, you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes up from thorn bushes or from figs, from thistles? Verse 17, a good tree produces what? Good fruit. And a bad tree produces what? Bad fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot produce what? And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Drop down to verse 20. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so can you identify people by their actions. So when we allow God to have influence in our life, then the byproduct of his influence is a transformed life. Not scripture knowledge, but scriptures lived. And when God begins to have influence in your life, he will cause you then to have greater influence in the lives in which you reach and touch. For people who are wanting to advance and to grow and to have a platform that's greater than where you are today, ask yourself this question first. How much influence am I allowing God to have in the secret areas of my life? My mother set me down when I was, I would say 12 years old, when hormones started to kick in. And she said something that I never forgot to this day. She said, Vince, many a mighty man has been brought down because of their inability to maintain their character toward the opposite sex. I was 12 when I heard that. And it stuck with me because I began looking at patterns in history, in the Bible. And around that time was 1998 with Bill Clinton. And I began to see that she was telling the truth. You see, greater influence means that your character is going to help facilitate your calling. I am so glad that this church didn't start out with 10,000 people, because I didn't have the character to manage 10,000 preferences. And so what God does is he stair steps you into areas that you can facilitate so that you are not a casualty for Christ. The last thing we need is another person to hit the news for a character lapse and they were in a place of prestige. So what God does is he takes you into seasons of obscurity, of darkness, where it seems like people are looking over you and you're not getting the phone call and you're not getting looked at. You're being looked over. But in those moments, God is seeing how much of your life can he influence. And you have a choice in that moment whether to become dejected or to develop. And what I speak by the Spirit of God this year, God desires to do things in your life that are so beyond anything you've ever prayed for. He's desiring to do things that you thought were at one time a dream. But I want to let you all know something, that when God manifests the things that you prayed in your life, it comes with its cousin called work. It comes with his baby mama and them called stress. And so character helps you to manage the workload and the stress levels so that you don't implode under the promotion you prayed for. So when God begins to increase your influence, there are things that you've worked out in your personal life so that you become a personal principle and not a person of the mood and how I'm feeling today. If I could just speak to the business owners, if I could speak to the community leaders that are here, those who are affluent, those who others know your name, because every person in here is a leader. If I could speak to your heart right now, the more you can live off a principle, the less you'll get caught up in problems. And so you don't make decisions because I'm feeling good today. Can I just be just honest with you all? My wife thinks that sometimes I go over the top when it comes to my principles. So if I ever called a female in here after dark, I'm calling you on speakerphone. My wife don't want to hear the conversation. My wife didn't ask me to put it on speakerphone. But out of principle, there's certain protections that are placed into your life. So that, can I just keep it real? So that when it ain't great at home, I haven't built backup plans. I have won 100% of the battles I don't put myself in. And moments of obscurity work on you. Work on your character. So as you increase with greater levels of influence, that means that you also have to increase, because the word we just read said, you need to know a tree by its fruit. You need to increase in greater levels of discernment. I want to talk about discernment here. Discernment in everyday language just simply means you call it like you see it. You just know. Y'all been there where you just see something, and you just know. That's not it. Because, oh, man, I'm just giving some leadership lessons. When you start with a bunch of folks cheering you on, you don't know who's cheering for you or the opportunity that you provide for them. You see, when we started this church, it started with a handful of people outside in a park under some trees with nothing. I didn't have to ask who's here for me. I know they weren't there for the trees. And I can be honest, I said, Lord, I thought I was way more anointed than a handful. But what the Lord has taught me over the last few years is that instead of sending you a crowd, I sent you a core. You could build with the core. But as your influence increases, the core has to have discernment on who's there for the mission and who's there for their own agenda. And so you're able to set your atmosphere in your corporation and your organization. I don't care what your vision, your mission statement, your objectives are. I could care less if your culture is mess. It's going to eat your vision for breakfast. So that's why the focus is keep the environment healthy. The way we keep the environment healthy is, God, we're going to allow you to have full expression through our lives as a community, because we need greater discernment. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. Can I say this for the record? I am absolutely in love with each and every one of you. And what I mean by that is, I have grown to a place in my life where the only thing that I really want anymore is to see you successful. All of my focus, all of my decisions, all of my programming is so that we can break the systemic cycles that have held you back for years. I'm committed to that. The Lord got on me because I haven't been as strong as he's called me to be in this role as pastor. I'm learning. I'm new. In fact, whole first year, I was trying to figure out, how did I get here? Second year, Lord, I'm here. Third year, oh, we in here. And y'all, I'm ready to go for it. Too many people are looking for what you get the opportunity to have week in and week out. And we haven't been bold enough to just invite them to experience it. That ended in 2019. And so I want to show you something with temptation, because we all get tempted. I can't wait to spend time with the fellas, because fellas, we need to talk. Because I want to apologize on behalf of church to you. We have robbed you of your masculinity. We have robbed you of the essence of who you are as a human being and as a man. We've asked you to deny all of it, to live up to this hierarchy of godliness that is non-existent. God has wired you the way he's wired you, because he needs your gifting to reach and to speak to people that each of us may never reach except for you. And so he's going to use the strengths, and he's also going to use the weaknesses to help show that God can use imperfect beings to produce his perfect plan in this earth. So I want to speak to every gentleman that's in here, every male that's in here, and I am so, so proud of the sea of men that are here this morning. I am beyond proud. It warms my heart to see this. And I want to speak to you, because society will try to throw a bar in front of you and say that's what you were supposed to reach. But God has given you every ounce of potential you need on the inside of you, and he wants you to cultivate just what you have today, and he'll take care of the rest. I know you're probably looking at, like, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to take care of that? What's going to happen if this? That is not your responsibility to figure all of that out. It is your responsibility to say, all right, and be humble and say, all right, God, this is where I am. This is what I have. And me and you, we got this. Because guess what? How do I know God's been faithful to you? You're sitting here listening to me today. And hinge off of God's faithfulness in your life. So Galatians 5, 16 and 17, we need greater discernment. Why? Verse 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature, everybody say, craves. Now, let's talk about cravings for a second. This evening, around 6 p.m., we're going to embark on our 21 days of prayer and fasting. In January, we add the fasting component to our season of prayer. And in doing these seasons of prayer, we leave out of here today excited, ready for all that the Lord wants to speak to me over this time. And we cut off all of what the Lord asked us to cut off. We'll talk more about that in detail at the end. And we don't consume what he asked us to do over the period of time, and that's between you and your God, at 6 p.m. But around 12 p.m. tomorrow, you're going to start thinking of some stuff that you haven't had since the summer of 87. Chitlins and Kool-Aid grease. Like, like, I had a good taste. I'm a cravings. See, what fasting does is it is a litmus test to how your flesh has been unhinged quietly all this time. Your flesh doesn't say, hey, I'm unhinged, check me out. Not until you completely restrict what the Lord is saying. Your flesh says, whoa, 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 player, I didn't know you were going to find me out here. Whoa, whoa. Our nature, we were born into wanting to do what's wrong naturally. That's natural. So all of us face temptation, but I want to help bring temptation home so that you are able to make decisions when you're tempted. So verse 17, the sinful nature, what's natural, wants you to do evil, which is the complete opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So I want to introduce something to you. Go with me to John. Actually, put a finger in Galatians 5. Go over to John 12. When I saw this revelation, I said, what you say? Did good right here. Did good. John 12, verse 24. John 12, verse 24. Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, keyword, planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Well, what we're looking at in verse 24 is what Christ is asking concerning our life. As long as your life is not submitted or planted, you don't live out your creative potential. But when you submit and plant your life, that's when a harvest of new and greater expressions is born. These next 21 days, during the day, we're going to release devotionals that are geared to helping you lead a life of greater fulfillment. When you're living in a fulfilled place, the problems just don't mean that much. They may still be there, but they just really don't mean that much. When you think of the good that God has done, the problems that you have fail in comparison. Verse 25, because those who love their life in this world, or another word for world is culture. Is it culture or is it Christ? Is it culture or is it Christ? I hope my mother-in-law doesn't listen to this next example, but I'm about to roast her right now. My wife and I realized about 3 years ago that we used to participate in my mother-in-law's church's 21 days of fasting, the Daniel fast. And we realized 3 years ago that there were some modifications that her church in Mississippi was making to the Daniel's fast. And we caught it because she called us 3 years ago and said, all right, y'all ready for the 21 days of fasting and prayer? And we're like, ooh, we sure are. She said, all right, remember on the Daniel's fast, no red meat, but you can eat tilapia, chicken, turkey. I said, I didn't know Daniel had tilapia. Like, what? Nebuchadnezzar had a catfish dinner? Like, I don't, like, where did... So our nickname for that, whenever she, because we haven't told her the difference. Our nickname for when she calls and asks, are we ready, is the Danny's fast, okay? So they modified Daniel versus Danny. That's Danny. But the whole church promises, because they didn't eat red meat, that they're closer to God than they were than when they started. Is it Christ or is it culture? A lot of your comparisons and your lifestyle comparisons are based on what others are not or others are doing. But the greater standard is not my life. The greatest standard is, what is the Lord leading me in my personal time to do? That's the highest standard. That way we rid ourselves of the trap of comparison. Because comparison is either going to make me feel even more prideful or make you feel even less than where you're at. Amen. Appreciate that. Go ahead now. So it's the word. So verse 25, those who love their life in culture, you love the culture more than you love Christ. Ooh-wee. We got the kids out of here. Ooh-wee. I might have to edit this out, but I feel like I need to talk. I'm nervous. I'm just making sure nobody has phones out. So when I restrict myself, one of my major areas that I struggle with is my nutrition. That's like people have smoking, some have drinking. I have eating. Listen, I might not cheat on my wife, but I cheat on a salad in a heartbeat. So that's my area. It's my area. So when I restrict myself, because we actually started detoxing last week. So what I'm going to say is, if like you turned up this New Year's, don't act like you didn't. We talking. If you turned up this New Year's, ease your way in. Because what you don't want to do is shock yourself. So we started last week, because we're going to go get after it this year. We started last week. And Ash and I were like two drug fiends Sunday night. It was perfect because we didn't have church, so we went ahead and started the detox and everything. By Sunday night, we, I said, open the bag of coffee beans. Oh, Columbia. But when I was dominating in my trouble area, which is food, all of a sudden, I had a raging temptation to watch pornography. I said, where did this come from? I got a butt-naked wife in the bed. We're sorry. Listen. There's a reason I ain't cheating around these parts. It's a reason. Like, where's this coming from? I don't watch no porn. I want to watch my wife. Your flesh does not care. If it can't get one area, it's going to search and look like raging water for another area. So what I need to show you, because I got to live out these messages before I teach them. So the Lord wanted me to talk about how do we deal with temptation, because it was real. And I got high-speed internet. The highest. Like, how do I deal with this temptation? I want you in your mind to, when you're tempted, not if, when you're tempted, am I going to do one of two things? Am I going to consume the temptation, or am I going to plant the temptation? Consume the temptation versus plant the temptation. So I was studying this thought out. The Lord reminded me about an apple. If you consume 20 apple cores, you're going to die. It's cyanide inside of the seed of that apple, which was planted so that it could produce a nutritious fruit. So if I eat the apple core, eventually I'm going to die. If I plant the apple core, it's going to produce more fruit than the seed I put in the ground. So let's look at something. Go back to Galatians 5 now. Let's go back to Galatians 5, and we're going to close today because we got to just do some talking in a little bit. Galatians 5. So when you're tempted, you have one of two choices. Either I'm going to consume this temptation or I'm going to plant this temptation. You consume the temptation with your flesh. You plant the temptation with the spirit. Watch this. When we consume the temptation, Galatians 5, verse 19. This explains what happens inside of you when you feel tempted. Galatians 5 and 19, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, when you consume them, here's what happens when you consume the desires of your sinful nature. What's natural? sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So it's not giving you an exhaustive list. It's just giving you an idea, because I know just like now today when you say something, but what about this? He said every sin comes from you consuming the temptation. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is not talking about eternal life. It's talking about the quality of your life here on earth. So he's saying if you are partaking or consuming temptation, the quality of your life will be terrible. But I want to show you something with planting. So when you're tempted and you plant, Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, singular, love. Love. When you plant the temptation, you're going to produce greater measures of love. First, in understanding how much God loves you. But when you operate from that, you'll then have, because there's only one fruit. So we've often taught that there are 9 fruit of the Spirit. Then Paul should have wrote, but the Holy Spirit produces these kinds of fruits. Plural. Singular. Here is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. If you're focused on the love of God, then you're going to have joy. If you're focused on the love of God, you're going to have peace. Focus on the love of God, you're going to have patience. Focus on the love of God, you're going to have kindness. Focus on the love of God, you're going to have goodness. Focus on the love of God, you're going to have faithfulness. Focused on the love of God, you're going to have gentleness. If you're focused on how much God loves you, you will be able to utilize self-control. And now displaying all of those characteristics communicate, get this, love to those we come in contact with. These 21 days, we are going to spend 2 days apiece on the 9 characteristics of the fruit of love, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Because while you're praying, I want your love walk to increase. When your love walk increases, your faith level rises as a byproduct. Often we get people fasting and they're trying to get in faith. We're putting the cattle or the cart before the horse. Focus on how much God loves you. Faith takes care of itself. Amen. That's all. Let's stand to our feet.